You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the lovely name of Jesus, and it is in His name that we approach Thy lofty throne today. We thank You for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world. The gift of God and the gift of life is through Him. So we thank You for all of Your rich blessings to us. We thank You for our precious congregation today. We're trusting that wherever this broadcast service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to souls. We know that you love everyone in our congregation, for you love everyone in the world. And we pray that you'll minister to them, their needs, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual. Encourage hearts, bless souls, get honor and glory to yourself through our efforts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing to you. At the close of our broadcast today, we'll be giving you our address, and we'd be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. In the meantime, we invite you to visit our webpage, and there you will be able to hear a number of our broadcasts, also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine and other messages. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. I would also add that you can join us in our services Sunday morning. Our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service is broadcast live over the internet also, and it begins at 6. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org.
Jesus, His love and His grace. My heart was overwhelmed to think a King would take my place. I cried, Lord, I'll go with you every step of the way. That's all I can do. My debt to repay.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Life of the Christian. When one submits to God's plan, and God does have a plan for everyone, when one submits to God's plan of salvation, believes the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, repents of his sins, confessing them, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of them when we do confess them, and we truly believe on Jesus Christ, then we are born again of the Spirit of God, and thus become a new creature, according to the Apostle Paul. And after this, we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice to God. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'd like to begin our thoughts with the part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'd like to emphasize that word first, because it doesn't mean second or third. Seeking first the kingdom of God means that we put God and the things of God ahead of all other things. Yes, I am aware that you have to have a job and you have to provide. If you're a husband and a father, you have to provide for your family and those things. But we need to have our priorities right. And Jesus Christ has taught us here in this passage of Scripture that God and God's kingdom must come first. Seek ye first. And that means you put the things of God ahead of your own personal desires or ambitions. Remember, Jesus taught us that we must love him more than we love father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, yea, even our own life. So in seeking the kingdom of God first, we put God and the things of God ahead of all other things. Now, this is not hard, and it's not difficult, and it is certainly not detrimental to us. If we will but seek first the kingdom of God, we will have God's blessings and God's approval upon our lives. So I do emphasize this word first. Put God first. Put the things of God first. And then there is no place in God's kingdom for the disobedient. No, there is no place in God's kingdom for the disobedient. The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Remember what Samuel told Saul when he disobeyed the Lord and claimed that he had obeyed the Lord? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. And Jesus has taught us that if we really love him, we will keep his commandments. He that loveth me is he that keepeth my commandments. That's how we show God. That's how we prove to God and to the world, for that matter, that we do really love God by keeping his commandments, by obeying his word. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If we want to have fellowship with God, seek first the kingdom of God, then we must walk in the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What do we mean by walking in the light? Walking in the truth. Truth is light, and light is truth. And if we walk in the truth, as God reveals it to us, then we will have fellowship with God, and we'll have fellowship with other Christians. And so, there is no place in the kingdom of God for disobedient spirits. For disobedience is sin and rebellion against God. Now, I referred to Romans 12:1 a few moments ago. Let me enlarge a little on that. The Christian is to be sanctified. And sanctification is an experience separate and apart from our regeneration. Sanctification is whenever we do present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, into our life, and abides there. We become a temple, a vessel, for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about some wildfire thing or some unseemly thing. The Spirit of God never causes anyone to act unseemingly or improperly. The Apostle Paul tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus told the disciples, as recorded in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So sanctification, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is an experience separate and apart from regeneration. And I don't talk, or I'm not saying at all, that you've got to talk in some jibber-jabberish tongue to receive the Spirit of God. I don't want to offend anybody, but beloved, that is not required, and it is not the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The evidence that a person has the Holy Spirit abiding in them is the fruit that they bear, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the Christian is not a friend of the world. According to James chapter 4 and verse 4, we are told that he that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And Jesus, in that prayer that I call the Lord's Prayer in John 17, Jesus there prayed for his disciples, and he said in that prayer that they, speaking of his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So you are not sanctified from the love of the world. You are saved from the love of the world. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Again, we must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we must put Him first. So the Christian is not a friend of the world, and the Christian does not love the world. They love God and the things of God. Again, I say, you are not sanctified from the world. You are saved from the world, because the love of the world is sin. Again, John said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But if you love God with all your heart, God's love, of course, is in you, and you do not love the world. How many times have individuals and congregations made shipwreck by turning to the fads and fashions of the world? Many places you can't tell them from the out-and-out sinner who makes no profession at all. But, beloved, there is a difference in dress, in manner of living, in their conversation, in their very spirit, in their very attitude. There is a difference between the child of God and the worldly person. Now, the Christian obeys God's commandments out of love. I mentioned a moment ago about our keeping the commandments of the Lord. That's how we show that we love Him. And so the Christian obeys God's commands out of love, not because he's forced to, not because some power other than the holy power of God drives him, but he serves God, he keeps God's commandments because he loves God. And because of his love for God, he wants to please God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So that's how we show the Lord that we love him, is by keeping his commandments, by obeying his word, living his word, living his teachings out in our lives day by day. Our subject today is life of the Christian. And the life of the Christian is one that we live 7 days a week, not one day out of the week, but 7 days through the week. We live the Christian life. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. So Jesus said, as recorded in John chapter 14 and the first part of verse 21. Let me repeat that. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Yes, there is things to do when you become a child of God. It's not a mere profession. It's not a badge that you wear. It's not something that you put your name on a church book. But again, I say, it's a life that you live, and you live the Christian life. You keep the commandments of God because you love Him and you want to please Him. The Christian does not forsake the assembling together as active as a part of a local congregation when at all possible. Now, I know not everyone has the opportunity of going where the pure gospel is preached, but wherein there is that opportunity, the Christian does not forsake the assembling together, and not only does he assemble, but he is an active part of a local congregation when at all possible. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and even more as you see the day approaching. How evil the day is, and how essential it is that we meet with other Christians and worship in spirit and in truth where at all possible. Now, the Christian is careful not to approve or partake of sin. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, as recorded in Ephesians 5 and 7. The Christian controls his tongue and uses only pure speech. No, you do not hear the Christian cursing, swearing, and taking God's name in vain. Oh, yes, you may hear some religious person, people that belong to a church may use that kind of a language, but I'm talking about the Christian life that we live. And the Christian controls his tongue and uses only pure speech. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James chapter 1 and verse 26. There is much vain religion in the world today, and there's much talk that is not Christian, and Christians have no business using the slang of words and the things that the worldling uses. He is different, not only in his life as far as living it, but in his language as well. He is different. Instead of cursing and swearing and taking God's name in vain, which is actually praising the devil, you take your voice and use your tongue to praise the Almighty God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thy name is to be praised. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. So our tongue is to be used, our voice is to be used to praise and worship Almighty God. You know, the ability to talk is a marvelous thing, and we need to use the right kind of language, that kind that pleases our Heavenly Father. Now, the new creature's demeanor is reflective of one who has been with Christ. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Peter and John had gone up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there was a lame man there, and through the power of God, Peter healed that lame man, and he was made to leap, to walk, and to praise God. And they were called into question, and they were threatened by the religious leaders of that day. But Peter said, "You judge whether it is better for us to obey God or man." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me say this. They may have been ignorant and unlearned as far as a lot of worldly things are concerned, since they were fishermen. But, beloved, they knew Jesus Christ. And that's far more important than knowing a lot of things in this world and how this works and how that works. So even though they may have been ignorant and unlearned in some ways in the material world, they certainly were not ignorant when it came to the power of God and living the gospel and demonstrating the Christ-like life. Now, the Christian life is the only life worth living. In fact, you are not really living if you do not have Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the Christian life is the only life worth living. And again I say, it's the only way to really live. You're not living if you do not have Christ. For to have Christ is to have life. To be without Christ is to be abiding in death. The Christian is not alone in living this life. The Lord has promised to be with us and he keeps his promise. Yes, the Lord has promised to be with us even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, not let us be tempted above that which we're able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. So the Lord keeps those who will put their trust and confidence in him. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts and verses of Scripture to the hearts of each one in our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Way of Truth broadcasts, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can join us in our Sunday services. We broadcast our services over the Internet. And our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening worship service begins at 6. And, of course, that's Eastern Time. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Though my sins were as scarlet.